Philippians chapter 4, 3, that I began last night. If God has any use for you, and it may come as a shock to some that He doesn't really have any use for a lot of people, He doesn't want you. I don't know why some people with their perverted theology don't try to pray Esau out of the grave so they can make a born-again, tongue-talking Christian out of him. They got problems because God said He hated Esau before he's ever born. God doesn't want some people. You are oh so fortunate if He does. But in the case of some, you've had such a veneer of self-righteousness all your life, and that's all it is a veneer. Never able to view it as Paul is defining it, as Kabbalah, that the King James nicely translates as dung. We shovel it every morning and every night out at our ranch. Should have somebody write a song for them, Shoveling Skabala. You know, God has called a few people that suffer the disadvantage of having been born in a fundamentalist, self-righteous atmosphere. And they're the ones that die a hard death, make it end through much suffering. Because God loves them enough to put them in a position to strip the veneer of their touted self-righteousness away, so the real man can be revealed. They're the braggadocious, wonderfully gracious Christians until they get in a genuine valley of weeping. Something like 39 stripes. Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice beaten with rods. Stoned. You ever imagine what it'd feel like to be stoned and left for dead? That's where God finds out what you're made of. That's where He finds out if you can truly turn a valley into a place of springs. Or whether you turn it into a place of resentment and self-pity and downright meanness. Because you think your self-righteousness for so many years is entitled you to something better. God must really love you. To put you in a place where that hard-shelled self-righteousness can be peeled away and God have a chance to do something from the inside out. Because all that self-righteousness, fundamentalist, do good for Christian image sake, all that is will worship and exterior paneling. Now, if God didn't love you, he'd let you go to your grave and burn it off of you in hell. Because all it is Kabbalah. There isn't anybody as genuinely righteous as Jesus. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. And when the first nail hits your left hand, you're swinging with your right one. I'll take my cigar any day. This smokescreen doesn't earn me a square centimeter of heaven's territory. And I know it. Doesn't make God owe me anything. This smokescreen is just making fundamentalists mad. Not doing anything for my righteousness. And I know it. But the stinking fundamentalists think that their performance earns them special exemptions and privileges from God. And God's love amazes me. If I were God, I'd fry it off of them. They'd find out their self-righteous works are not much of, and their self-righteous image are not much of a heat shield. It's Kabbalah. You know, very many righteous fundamentalists that consider their performance Kabbalah. That sneezing fit developed this little bit of a lisp. No, it didn't. That was deliberate. But God loves those that he's chosen that find themselves born in that hazardous territory. You're so lucky if God chose you and doesn't find you except in your heathen state. The painful extractions of God's chosen are those that he must extract from the weight and burden of mountains of Kabbalah. That so covers them that he has to treat them very painfully to get through the Kabbalah. You know, just washing plain dirt off like sin, that's a lot easier job than washing Kabbalah off. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Thank God if he found you a heathen. You're really in for it if he found you covered in Kabbalah. Until he gets every trace of it off of you. Why do I have to suffer like I'm suffering? To knock this Kabbalah out of you. And if you think I'm just being humorous, you're crazier than a lunatic. Now, those of you that have the slightest idea of what I'm talking about, get on the telephone. Philippians chapter 3. It's just me, or is it too cold in here? Too cold in here. What a sad. I'm going to start over on chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I'm starting over because to read the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you, safe. Beware of dog kuvas. And there's more than one word in the Greek for dogs, and this is the street kind, more like in behavior a coyote. Turn that thing off. Plumb off. When it gets too hot, I'll tell you it's too hot. Power. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the cockus workmen. Spreaders of caca. Greek. Beware of the concision, the self-mutilators. You wouldn't even give them the dignity of using the word circumcision. Because he says we are the circumcision which by the Spirit of God are worshiping and boasting in Christ Jesus and not trusting in the flesh. God was very smart. He picked this great emissary of the gospel with impeccable credentials in self-righteousness. There isn't a doubt of what he would have been the superintendent of the largest and most powerful fundamentalist church in the world today. Without a spot on his credentials. He that trusteth in the flesh, I more, he says. Fifth verse, circumcised the eighth day, that means he was born in it. Proselytes to Judaism got circumcised as they were adults. He was circumcised on the eighth day, born in it. Of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. That tribe that stuck with David and formed the kingdom of Judah. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Saul of Tarsus, one of those rich communities in the Roman Empire that kept their citizenship in both their city and qualified as a citizen of Rome. Sent by his rich parents to the number one Jewish scholar of the day. Taught at the feet of Gamaliel, Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church beyond all as a zealot, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. By their standards, they couldn't fault him with anything. But what things were gained to me, these I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them, deem them, skubala, dung. That I may win Christ, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, literally, epi, based on pistai, based on faith. I said last night as we got to a late hour, I have many times used the analogy looking to the step that Christ took when he emptied himself, being in the form, morphe, essence of God. Took the form of slave. And the two could not coexist. Godness and slavery cannot coexist. The one who spoke the worlds into existence, Hebrews 1, says that's what Jesus did as the agency of the Godhead. Co-equal with the Father, took the morphe or essence of slave to do the will of his Father, and willingly emptied himself of the morphe God. What a step. And then I have said, compare that with the step that you had to take to leave the throne room of your ego to be God's servant. And I corrected a possible misimpression last night, because as I draw that comparison, it's like he took a big step down and we take a little step down. Fool. He did take a big step down. Ours is a step up. From dead in trespasses and sin, step up to life. But Paul now draws another analogy. Covered with skubala. Step up from self-righteousness. To God's righteousness. Becoming indeed as the Spirit of God, the Scripture says, clothed himself with Gideon. We become indwelt, paradoxically clothed with the Spirit, to step up. And as I said earlier, that's either easier for a heathen to see than one born and raised, as Paul was, in the self-righteous, performing religious establishment. Enculturated from your earliest youth. Always viewing the world as something beneath you. Because, like the Pharisee, who views the publican beating himself and praying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, I thank God I'm not as this man. And you've looked down from your self-proclaimed pinnacle of righteous performance until you've forgotten what Paul's saying. It's a pinnacle of Skabala. There are some of you that listen to me teach that not once in your entire Christian life have you viewed your self-righteous Christian performance as a pile of Skabala. You know what I'm talking about? So as I said earlier, thank God he loves you enough to knock the Skabala out of you. I lament the fact that we've been able to perceptually set the Judaism of the New Testament. We're not talking about the Jews. We're talking about legalistic Christians who accept Christ but maintain the necessity of the law. Legalism. Do this, do that, don't do this. You've listened to me for years. You still pride yourself, well, I don't do that. I just wish he wouldn't use some of the language he uses. Then I could accept him as not only being a good teacher, but righteous like me. I wish he wouldn't smoke that cigar. Then I could tell my fellow Skabala-spouting Christians not only about his teaching, but about his life. You self-righteous hunk of Skabala. You caucus workman. You pompous dog marking every bush in the kingdom with your excrement. That's the way Paul talked. Yeah, you think about that while I light up another one. Last night, to make the point, I used some humor. Tonight, I want to shove the scalpel of God's Word in where the nerve ends are. You still want Christ plus your righteous performance to be the mix.
Whoa, I mean, should I just go out there and sin?
Don't be a fool. With Paul, and I'm urging you, for me to live as Christ. Boast in Christ Jesus, not your fleshly performance. And I'm not talking about boasting to others, I'm talking about your view of yourself. Quit thanking God he's so merciful to you as a righteous man. Pray the prayer of the publican still. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Hamartia, falling short. The mark of a truly spiritual man, he's more aware of the distance between his short falling height and God, than he is his short falling height and those who fell shorter. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
All our righteousness is filthy rags. It's Kabbalah. It's hard for us to realize that the religious establishment were characterized by the Judaizers. Accept Christ, live the law. Christ is our Messiah and he died for me, but that's my past sins. I'm a right living exhibit. You're a big blob of Kabbalah. And so am I. If you understood it right, you'd thank God I put a smoke screen between me and my Kabbalah. You don't want to realize that Paul was a better performer in the flesh of adhering to the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses and his behavior than the Pope will ever be. I do count them those things I held dear. He didn't hold dear what the heathen hold dear. He held dear his righteous identity with the community, Hebrew of the Hebrews. There ain't a deacon anywhere in any church that measured up to Paul. I do count all that Kabbalah. Here, Christ, I accept you. Now take my Kabbalah and bless it. You know what most of the churches are preaching? Kabbalah. Big Kabbalah. BS. And you know what goes with Kabbalah? Windy preachers. If you had any guts, you'd applaud. Oh, you're just, you know, you're fending my Kabbalah. I don't like to have it defined in such earthy terms. No wonder Paul said, only Luke is with me. Kabbalah clings together. I'll bet you never forget this message. And they want you and me to come back and swim in Kabbalah and call it a baptism? Huh? And you've dared to be intimidated? That think the air of Kabbalah is a delight? And you should leave the atmosphere of the clean air of grace, faith, and crawl back in the sewer? Understand what Paul's saying. It's offensive. Don't talk to me about me offending you. Move the Kabbalah off of the religious universe and we won't have to talk about it anymore. You ain't gonna sell me with a semantical inversion of calling it a honey wagon. If I have any one ministry, I know Kabbalah when I see it. That's what made Paul separate. Now get off the honey wagon and get on this train to glory. Now get on the telephone. Now I want to do some more teaching tonight. And I want to go beyond this point. But I want you to understand that it was just as difficult to take your stand in Paul's day for Christ and the righteousness of faith against the religious establishment as it is today. Don't treat this passage as some archaic scenario that has no relevance to today. Judaism has conquered. The traditional church still emphasizes works. And they parade their Kabbalah in public. I mean, if you think a thing is wrong, it's sin for you to do it just because you think it's wrong. Because that presupposes a rebellious spirit, even though God really doesn't care about the item. But keep your Kabbalah to yourself. The insanity of traditional, legalistic, fundamentalist, work-oriented, caucus workers is they want to do it in public. At least have the decency to go in the closet and display your Kabbalah to yourself and flush it down the sewer. Quit doing it in my face. I mean, let's get this thing straightened out of who's offensive. If you're so proud of your Kabbalah, go in your closet and do sculptures with it. Just don't ask me to handle it. Parade Christ in public. Leave your Kabbalah in the outhouse where it belongs. And build a high fence around it for fear somebody will fall into it instead of dragging people into it. It's just the nature of Kabbalah. It's less offensive to you, your Kabbalah, than it is to others. There's nothing matching a fundamentalist that thinks their Kabbalah is not offensive. They run around town wearing their diapers inside out. And call it robes of righteousness. You tell me I'm not teaching what Paul said. If you can't handle it, it's your problem. We've been handling your stuff until we're sick of it and we don't want it anymore. We're calling it what it is, just the way Paul did. No wonder no one wants to be a Christian. And they're offended with my cigar. Let me tell you something. If you had lived around as much Kabbalah as I've lived around, you'd smoke a cigar for self-protection. You understand me? I count it all those things. Now, I will say this, and by tomorrow, you'll forget it. Some person will come by, reminds me of the holy men of India. They cover themselves with human excrement and walk around with it rubbed in their hair and all over their body, and they're called holy. And the fundamentalists look at them and say, heathen! And they think they're a holy man. God views you self-righteous, work-oriented, guilt-peddling, pharisaical, fundamentalist, self-righteous, airheads the same way, smearing your Kabbalah of self-righteousness all over yourself and thinking it's white robes. They let crazy people run loose in India because they think they're holy people. We've been doing that in the evangelical church for years. We ordained some of them. Those that can throw Kabbalah the farthest become the preachers. Paul counts it as Kabbalah, being found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Gnonai. A knowing through experience, that I may know him through experience in the power of his resurrection, the koinonia of his suffering, joint participation in his suffering. That's what my mother's learning right now. Being made conformable, sum morphizomenos. Together, metamorphized to the death of him. That cleans the Kabbalah out. If by any means, oh Lord, any means but the one you're putting me through right now, that's the message I carry to my mother. If by any means, including this hospital bed, I might attain under the resurrection, that doesn't quite say it. The Greek is exans estosin. Literally, it translates out resurrection. A hyphenated word, out resurrection. Might attain, by any means I might attain under the out resurrection of the dead, those suffocated and dying in Kabbalah. By any means to out-resurrect you from that. Some of you diehards that have heard the truth from me, look out. God may use any means necessary to out-resurrect you from your comfortable reliance on a life of Kabbalah. You can't put your finger on any sin that you are committing. Of course, don't stretch your imagination on the things left out too much, but you aren't doing anything that you know to be wrong. You ain't out to the bars. You don't smoke cigars. You ain't adulterating. You wouldn't tell a lie except yourself. You don't steal. But when the chips are down and the word of God that pierces to the joints and marrow and the all-seeing eye of God who sees the inside member, the morphe, together metamorphosed, is from inside out. The God who looks way into the heart. You still think that you're entitled to something from God because you've been so damn good. You'd have to work at being a publican crying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," because you'd almost feel like you were lying to say that. Because you don't really know what sin to confess. You're so good. You want to smoke a cigar, then you'd have something to talk to God about. You really are hard put to find something to repent of. I mean, you've brought God's standard down to your performance. And it looks pretty good to you. You look in the spiritual mirror every day. You don't see any big spots. Well, let me tell you something. God sees Kabbalah. And he must really love you. To yank your eyeballs out and turn them around until you can see it true, too. Nos comprendemos? We understand each other? Is the most important thing in your life just settling down there in your Kabbalah until the Lord takes you to your just reward? And throughout eternity, you sit on a cloud, crystallized Kabbalah. For all the eons of eternity to pass by and say, good Kabbalah. Wayne's Kabbalah. The most Wayne Kabbalah. Kabbalahismo. People asked the other night how Dan would translate bleep happens. I like that. Kabbalahismo. Make a word up. You really got in its place, in the place of Kabbalah, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Man, you set off a stick of dynamite in a pile of Kabbalah. That'll clear the air in a hurry, won't it? And I can see some of you cringing. There's probably some fundamentalists watching me that have already put their hands to their ears and run out of the house. I've not succeeded until I take you past that cringing. Until you really, genuinely view your self-righteous performance in that way. There, I repeat, there are people listening to me that not once in your lifetime have you genuinely viewed your self-righteous performance as Kabbalah. It's always of a form and morphe better than sin. Oh, sin is sin. It's falling short. Kabbalah covers up the shortfalling and blinds you to it. You've got your eyes full of Kabbalah, you can't even see sin. And if you become so used to it, that you don't even know it's there. You think it's something else. 2020 vision. In its place is this your view that you view all that as Kabbalah, that you may win Christ, that you may know him in the power of his resurrection. Dunamin is the word for power. The joint participation of his suffering. Being made together, morphized unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Only you know whether you prefer Kabbalah to the any means by which you might attain under the resurrection from the dead. Why do you think Paul said to the Galatians he would not be silent a moment? The gospel was at stake. That's what I've been crying out for 18 years here from this pulpit. The gospel's at stake. Buried in Kabbalah. God put us in a place to give this message to the whole wide world. Wow. Wow. Thank God he names it for what it is. And they still, these Kabbalah peddlers, still have the ability to put you on the defensive? Because you're not dedicated to Kabbalah. Think about it. Some of you are married to one. Some of you are still going to buildings full of it every Sunday. Some of you are still shaking hands with it at the back door of the church. Then go home and listen to me and wonder why it doesn't mix. Some of you are raising your kids in it. You really love your kids. Raising them in Kabbalah. You might want to walk out. Clutching your Kabbalah and its preciousness to you. Well, eat Kabbalah. That pretty much says it. Get on a telephone.